Psalm 107. In Psalm 107, four times we find the same verse repeated. Let me read a few of the verses and you'll see the context. But it says in verse 1, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Verse 8. All that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. I think the psalmist, as he wrote Psalm 107, there was just something in his heart. And he would tell a little bit about what God had done for people. And as he would tell that, then he would come to this thought, and have this longing in his heart. And he would say, all that men, and if you look at the end of verse 8, and you'll see it at the end of the other verses, there's an exclamation point. I mean, there's something there that the psalmist was seeking to emphasize. All that men, amen? All that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Well, if you read on, you have another illustration of God working, responding to these that were having a need. And then as you come to the end of that second illustration, you hear in verse 15, all that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Then we have a third illustration where once again, the psalmist is talking about how that God heard, how that God saw, how that God responded to the people. And as God responded to the people, then we see all that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And then you go on and you have another illustration here in Psalm 107, and it tells about what God did, how God responded. And then you come down to verse 31. All that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Now, I've read this passage, just like you've read the passage, many, many times. But one day I discovered these verses. And initially, I thought that the psalmist was saying, all that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. I thought the psalmist was saying that we ought to praise God to the children of men. But I think he's probably saying, you could read it either way, I think, but I think he's probably saying, all that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Now, I don't think we'll do harm either way, but I tell you what God wants. God wants to work in your life and work in my life in such a way that we'll tell others about our God. And that's what missions is all about. God saved you. Huh? We could all stand up and give our testimony. God saved you. But you know what? In Japan, they're still waiting for somebody to come. Vietnam, with all that's been accomplished, they're still waiting. Mongolia, whoa. They're waiting for somebody. They don't know that. But they're waiting for somebody to come and tell them about the goodness of God. Now let me ask you, does it get any better than getting saved? Is that not the goodness of God? It doesn't get any better than God reaching down from heaven and taking a sinful man, whatever his age, a sinful woman, whatever her age, and whatever her sins are, but God reaching down from heaven and saving that soul, and not only saving them, but giving to them all that God gives to them.
Amen.
Have you made a list lately? Just go ahead. Yeah, you'll start praising Him. Amen. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Oh, I tell you, it ought to be so easy. Why do we make it so hard? I mean, to be able to talk about what God has done for us. And again, there was a concern, I think, in the psalmist. I think it comes out in that exclamation point. Not just a period, but an exclamation point. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Well, if you go on in the passage, and I can't spend a lot of time here, but you go on in the passage, it says in verse 32, "Let them exalt Him also in the congregation of the people." Boy, that's right here, isn't it? I mean, that's tonight. And praise Him in the assembly of the elders. That's tonight. That's right here at Sweet Springs Baptist Church. Amen. Well, when you go on in the passage, it starts talking about He. It starts telling about things that He has done. That God has done. There in verse 33, He turneth rivers into a wilderness. Verse 35, He turneth the wilderness into a standing water. Verse 36, verse 38, verse 40, verse 41, and it goes on and on and on right out of my life. He. It comes right out of your life, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Started that day. We already mentioned it. Started that day when He reached down from heaven and saved your soul.
Amen.
We ought to praise Him.
Yes.
We ought to praise Him. We ought to tell others about what God has done for us. Well, I want to use that as a launching pad. Turn with me to the New Testament, to that passage for faith promise, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm not going to preach on faith promise, but I want you to turn to the passage. And I'm really just going to share with you tonight some of the He's. Some of the things that God's done. You know the burden on my heart? I want people to know the reality of the true and living God. I thank the Lord for my Bible. But I'm thankful that you don't just have to read about the Lord. He can be so real in your life. You can see Him. Yeah, you can even hear Him at times. He speaks. And yes, you can even feel Him. The Lord's real. And we need to pass on to the next generation.
Yes. Yes, sir.
And to others even now, young and old, the reality of the true and living God. He's not just somebody we talk about or give some name to. The Bible's already given Him His names. He doesn't need any new ones. He has been so good to me that I cannot tell it all. I cannot tell it all. I cannot tell it all. He has been so good to me that I cannot tell it all. He has been so good to me. In 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, the great passage on giving. That's what it's all about in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. In verse 6, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. Now, that's just a fact. That's a principle. Whether you're sowing corn or whether you're sowing dollar bills, that's a fact. He which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully, that's a fact too, shall reap also bountifully. Verse 7, every man according as he purposeth in his heart. I believe that's faith promise right there. I believe that purposing is faith promise right there. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God, now, we could camp out there. I'm not going to. Well, I am. Yeah, I am. And God. That's the key.
Yes, sir.
Hey, that's the key to everything. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about us. It's not about this church. All that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. When's the last time you just said to somebody, boy, I'd just like to tell you what God's done for me. Boy, grandpas, that's a good thing to talk to grandchildren about. Hey, let me tell you how God worked in my life. I mean, they'll sit and listen. And God. There's the key. That's the key to missions. It isn't what we can do. It's what God can do. You see, in verse 7, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace. Boy, grace. Now that we could preach on all night. We got preachers in here tonight. We could have them come up one at a time without any preparation and they could preach on the grace of God.
Oh, yeah.
Amen? Yeah. And we could just go on and on and on and on and on. I mean, the grace, it's in everything when you think about God. Grace.
Yeah.
But notice what it says. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you. Boy. You could put the period there and just stop. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work.
Amen.
Now, I think that verse is for a missionary, for missionaries. And I think that verse is for people that help missionaries. God is able for the missionary. Listen to what it says now. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you. This is to the missionary. Listen. that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Amen? Now, wait a minute. That's to people that this was written to a church. Written to the church in Corinth. And so this is for those that help missionaries as well. And as you think about your faith promise tonight, I encourage you, I challenge you, listen to what the verse says. And God. Don't try to go it alone. If you try to go it alone, then you just get to see what you can do. But if you'll let God get involved in it, and God, if you'll let God get involved in it, you'll find out more about the reality of the true and living God. The world gets to see what man can do. The world gets to hear about what man can do. The world needs to see and hear where a person, all they can say is, that's God. That's God. I want to say thank you. And I didn't introduce my wife, but she's sitting right there on the second row. And I'm not going to start introducing others because I got too many nephews and nieces and grandchildren and children and brother and sister. And there's a bunch of them here. And I just want to say thank you to Sweet Springs Baptist Church for having this missions conference and for having the testimony. July 23rd, 1989. My wife and I came to Sweet Springs Baptist Church for the very first time. You didn't have the fellowship hall, obviously, and you didn't have this building. Right over there, Wallace Misseldine was the pastor. And it was our first time. And he told me, he said, we want to be a part of that. We want to get involved. Was anybody here then? Anybody? One, two, three? Three people. Boy, the church has changed a lot, brother. 1989, they took us on for support. And faithfully, you have taken care of us and helped us. And I just want to say thank you. Thank you for the missions conference. Well, the message is just messages. Friday night, the kind you want to write home about, right? Saturday night, this morning, kind of message you want to tell others about. It's because of our God. Hey, it's God. Hey, I want to tell you kids, children, He's real. He will save you. But He'll do much more. Oh, I'm telling you. He has done so much for me that I cannot tell it all. Catchy little tune, isn't it? But I tell you, when you let Him work in your life, and He works, boy, it's a little tune that it just comes on you, and you just want to sing it because He's real. He's real. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you. Now, to the church, God is able to make all grace abound toward you. To the church, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Notice, every good work. I'm going to say something, and some of you think I'm nuts. Wouldn't it be something that every time a missionary came here, just kind of automatic? Going to take them on. Going to take them on. Yeah, every time Pastor got a letter and some missionary was writing about a particular project or something going on and building one of those houses, and he'd just read the letter and somebody would say, "Pastor, why don't we just build one of those houses?" I mean, what was that? What does the verse say? It's not what Sweet Springs Baptist Church can do. It's what God is able. When I came here back in 89, I preached on God is able from Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. Now, if you've forgotten, He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Come on, let's let God be God. Let's let God make Himself known. And let's praise God then for what He does. Amen?
Yeah.
Whoa. 1982. God put in my heart to leave a church and go somewhere and start a church. We had a little Mazda 626. Kathy was expecting Sheila number 4. And we put the 3 kids in the back of the car. And we took off. We put our furniture in Gary's garage. And we took off for California, looking for a place to start a church. Took the northern route. And we'd stop places. And we found, we had people that encouraged me to come back and be their pastor and help them start a church. South Dakota. Got to California. And we came back a different route. And when we got back to Gary's house, all of our stuff was at his place. When we got back to Gary's house and I pulled in the driveway, I had a nickel in my pocket. A nickel. A nickel. That's all I had left. And God. Now you're never broke as long as God's around. I like those 2 words, don't you?
Yes, I do.
That'll make you get up, Brother Roberts, and dance a little bit or something. And God. And God. Well, we were looking for a place to start a church, but God didn't put a place on our heart, even though people were, God did not give us peace about any particular place, even though there were places. A few months later, we were driving down Old Madison Pike there in Madison, and I looked to the left, Kathy and I, where we were just out on a husband and wife drive, just having fun together, And I looked to the left and they were building a couple of houses. And I said to Kathy, this is exactly what I said to her. This area is going to grow. And we pulled around the corner onto Hughes Road and went down a ways. And there was a church there and we pulled in the parking lot. Didn't know anything about the church, but got out of the car and walked around the building. When we come back around, there was some ladies there and they want to know what we were doing. I'm going to make a long story short. They were closing their independent Baptist church. They did close it. And the Lord gave us the property free. And we started new, afresh. And Jesus has built a church right there. He's God, by the way.
Yeah.
He fits in that, and God.
Yeah.
He's able to make all grace abound towards you. What I'm trying to get you to see is God is able to turn His grace, His favor.
Yeah.
God is able to take His favor and turn it toward you. And He does that. He'll do that with missionaries. He'll do that with churches. He can do that with individual lives. Well, pastored the church. It was a dream come true. I mean a dream come true. Had no idea I'd ever leave Madison Baptist Church. But I went to the mission field to visit some missionaries. And while I was there, Africa got in my heart. I couldn't get it out. When I came home, one of the ladies said, "Pastor, you're not going to leave us and go to the mission field, are you?" And I said, "No." But within a month, I was announcing to the church. I had to talk with my wife, and we talked to the Lord, and we got peace, and we're going to go to Africa. Where? 52 countries. Now, where do you go? 52 countries. God knew where He wanted us to go. He said, go to Uganda. And so we went. The Lord gave us our support. We asked Him for our support in a year. He gave it to us in 11 months. And just, it doesn't always work that way. I know that. And there are reasons why it doesn't always work that way. But God gave us, He just pointed His grace and said, "Here it is, Tony. I read a manual," because we were going out of Madison Baptist Church and not with a mission board, and I'm not anti-mission board. I thank God for good mission boards. But we felt like the Lord would send us out of the church, and the church wanted to do that. But I read a manual, because I'd never had any experience like that, and the church hadn't. I read a manual from a mission board. And it said, when you leave to go to the field, if you own a house, don't sell the house and use the money for missions. That's what it said. It was very clear. You're going to need that later on, so don't sell your house and use the money for missions. Well, we had a house, but we didn't have a lot of equity in it, but we sold it and we used the money for missions. A good number of years later, we were home and bought a house. And I don't remember how much we owed on the house, but we paid what we could and whatever. And a man called me on the telephone. And he said, "You know, my wife and I, you have a mortgage on your house, don't you?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "My wife and I'd like to pay it off." And God.
Yeah.
You see, I really don't have to worry about those kind of things. God takes care of them, and He has. And that's my testimony tonight. He has. Went to Uganda, and how do you start when it's just you and your family? Well, I asked God to give me some men. I'm not opposed to ladies, but I wanted to start with men. And we visited all the churches, almost each kind of church there in the town that the Lord led us to. You might not agree with that, but we wanted to see what was going on, what was being preached and taught and practiced and so on. Met a man in a, I don't know if it was a non-denominational, it wasn't a charismatic church, but it wasn't a Baptist church, okay? And his wife led the singing. Can you imagine that? And I was praying and asking God for some men to work with. I could only speak English, 30-some languages in Uganda. Somebody said, "Well, did you learn the language? Which one?" No, I just stuck with my English, and I used other men to translate for me. Needed some help. God one day I told my wife, I said, you know, he's going to, we were talking about this man, and I said, Kenneth is going to resign his church and close it and come and ask if he can be a student in the Bible Institute. I told her that. He never said a word. We just visited his church just to see what was going on. And about 30 minutes later, he was at the gate. And I invited him in, and we sat down. He said, I think God wants me to close that church and wants me to come to the Bible Institute so I can learn. Would you be willing to let me come? And I said, yeah, yeah.
Amen.
God gave me the man to translate for the Renuro language. I couldn't talk Renuro. I still can't talk Renuro. But he could. And then there were a lot of people that spoke the Allure language. That was a neighboring district and neighboring people, but there were a lot of them there. And so there was a fellow that was, he was going to be a policeman. He was a police trainee. And he got saved. There in the police training camp was in Mesindi. He got saved. His name was Stanley. And he not only got saved, but God called him to preach. And he heard about the Bible Institute, and he kept coming, looking, and we just couldn't cross each other's path. And one day, I was there when he came, and the guy was so excited. And I said to him, I said, sit down. And he straddled a bench, and I straddled a bench, and we're looking face to face. And I said, now, tell me, what is it? He said, I got saved. I've been in the police training. I got saved. And God's called me to preach. And he said, the commandant has said, if you'll let me come to the Bible Institute, he'll let me out of police training and I can become a preacher. And so there was my second man.
Amen.
I didn't advertise in the newspaper. I didn't even put word out. It's and God.
Amen.
God is God. God. You know, God does a lot more in your life than you realize. He's responsible for a lot more. I'm slowed down. Sometimes I can't think now. I can't move from one thought to the other. Sometimes my speech slows down. Sometimes I cry. It's God. He knows what He's doing. I just have to believe Him. When He gives me something. And trust Him. See, belief doesn't go far enough. You got to get that second part now. Trust Him. Trust Him. Trust Him. That's what faith promise is all about. It's not what you can do. If you want to settle it on that, that's okay. You sacrifice is good and it's wonderful. And these missionaries will let you support them with that. But I'm telling you, God's so much bigger than we are. If we'll let Him be. The reality. That's what young people are looking for today. They're not looking for religion. They're looking for reality. Don't just tell me about God. Show me God. They want to see God working in our lives. And God wants to work. God wants to work in such a way that He is glorified. He is praised. He is honored. I don't know how many he's I'm going to give. We'll cut her off here pretty soon. But I just want to give you some of those he's. You know the he's there in Psalm 107. He. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. I'm just praising the Lord tonight because of what God has done. And Boy, Kenneth and Stanley. Stanley's, if you know any missionaries in Uganda, you talk to them about Stanley. They invite him to preach their mission. They invite him to preach their faith promise mission conferences in various parts the missionaries do there in Uganda. Brother Stanley. New missionaries, when they come on, they try to latch on to Stanley. I get amazed. Now, come on, just understand what I'm going to say. Don't misunderstand it. I think missionaries that go to the field, you got to get involved with nationals. That's what it's all about. But many times what I see happening is missionaries will come and they want to latch on to this national that's already doing the work. That's all right. Praise God. Glean from him. Work with him. Let him help you. But don't try to get him under you. He's already doing the work for God. Amen? And Brother Stanley, they try to latch on to him. He's just a blessing. God gave us some men, a widow lady that just before we left, she said, I want to have lunch with you. I want to take you out to dinner. She took us out and she gave me a check for $500. And then she died. But she left money behind. Oh, they gave me checks for $5,000, $10,000. Just for the work, to do the work of the Lord. God's able to make all grace abound.
Amen.
I was in a church and at the table, like back here, we're at the table and this fella comes up. I didn't know him. The church supported us, but I didn't know this man. And as we're talking, and he's just asking question after question after question after question. We went home for lunch with this family, and they said, well, we saw so-and-so was talking to you. And I said, well, I don't know who he was, but yeah, we were talking. And they said, well, when he talks to a missionary, get ready. We wound up entering into a kind of a partnership. He was a lawyer. And he would write to us and send us his cases to pray about. And then as God blessed him and he won the cases, he would give money to East Africa Outreach.
Amen.
It wasn't my idea. It was his idea. But I mean, he even one day had me come in Montgomery, Alabama to this big, big fancy hotel where a restaurant where you go up to the top we went in this little room. It was just for us, him and Kathy and me and this other lawyer. He just felt like this other lawyer had won this big $1 million case and surely he'd want to know about what was going on in Uganda and get involved. And he had it all set up. I felt awkward. God, there is grace in giving, but there is grace where God just blesses and blesses and blesses. And he'll point that blessing from different ways, different directions. We had a couple. I've never been in their church. Far as I know, they've never heard me preach. But he called me one day. He said, Brother Stark, how much do you think the radio station's going to cost? This is when we did the first station. I said, maybe about $25,000. He said, my wife and I'd like to take care of the first one. That's the way he put it, the first one. And I said, are you serious? He said, yes. And so I said, okay. And he said, what should I do? And I told him what to do. And they did. They did. And then a few years later, when we're getting ready to start the second station, Mount Otsi, and things are in the makings, he calls me and he says, well, what about that next station? I said, well, we're just getting ready. And I told him. He said, well, we want to help you. And so he helped. I'm saying God uses widows. You read about them in the Bible. Hey, God's got widows today. Yeah, that verse, 127, James. Yeah. God's got widows today. God's got lawyers. God's got couples. At one point, a man came to me and he said, Brother Stark, he said, I just really encouraged about the work. And he said, I'm retired. But he said, I'm going to come out of retirement and go back to work so I can support East Africa Outreach. I said, are you sure? And he said, yeah. And I didn't ask him. I never asked how much or anything, but I got a check for $1,000. And I didn't know if that was going to be just a gift, you know, every month. $1,000. $1,000. $1,000. I was sitting in the pickup. Kathy was in the embassy. This little guy, smaller than me. And I don't mean just here. I mean, he's smaller than me. He says, I'm reading about this Bible Institute on the side of your pickup. He said, what do we have to do to come? And I said, well, tell me about yourself. And he told me, and are you saved? And gave me his testimony and whatever. And I said, well, let's pray about it. I said, let me give me a contact. And I gave him my contact. And I said, let's pray about it. And we'll write each other and we'll see how the Lord leads. One day, apparently, he got tired of waiting. We'd communicated some, but I hadn't said come. And he showed up. And I took him over to the dormitory for the Bible Institute. And I said, we want to plant some banana plants. So you dig these holes here. I wanted to find out if he was just looking for a place or if he was serious. I came back a couple hours later, and he had these big holes dug for these banana plants. I mean, they were just right. And he had blisters all over his hands. No complaints. Bernard was my partner when we started the second church in Buhimba. He went on to Kampala and started a church, still pastors there. Has a Bible Institute, meets every Saturday. Goes to Congo, his home country, and preaches to many, many, many. God can give you people to work with. Laborers. Kathy and I were in the vehicle going to go up the mountain, Mount Otsi, to the new radio station. And my tires, wheels would just spin. Tried three times, and finally I said, this isn't going to make it. We're going to have to walk. You don't walk, you hike, because it was a mountain. Well, we made it up there. When I got to the top, I prayed, Lord, would you give me a helicopter so that we could just fly from Buhimba here and wouldn't have to go up and climb this mountain? And so she came. Then we were hiking with different people helping us go up. And she came over and I told her, I says, honey, I just prayed and asked the Lord to give us a helicopter so it won't be so difficult. And then I got to thinking, well, I'd have to have somebody to fly it because I don't know how to fly a helicopter. And then I thought, you'd have to buy fuel. I don't know what kind of fuel a helicopter uses. And so I talked to the Lord again. And I said, Lord, I don't need a helicopter. I need a four-wheel drive pickup. Oh, me. I told Kathy, I said, I changed my prayer. I'm asking the Lord for a four-wheel. I can drive a four-wheel drive pickup, and we can buy diesel here. And so we went home next day. I got an email. Guy says, Brother Stark, he said, tell me three things you need. Tell me three things you need. So I wrote him and I told him about a pickup. And I told him about a, and I don't go around asking, but if somebody asks, I'm willing to tell.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
And so I wrote him about a pickup and some solar panels for the radio station. And I don't even remember number three, but the next day I got another email. He said, we're sending $25,000. You think you can get a pickup? I said, I found one, black one. Oh, I mean, it was beautiful. Everybody loved it. Black pickup, four-wheel drive. I could go up and down that mountain. Joshua, you saw Joshua in the pictures there, and it said he started the first Independent Baptist Church in southern Sudan. There are now 10. I saw him in October, and I said, how many? And he said, 10.
Praise the Lord.
That's God.
Yes,
sir. Hey, that's not Tony Stark. That's God. You look on our display back there, and there's a picture. Gary took the picture. It's a guy standing there, and we're praying together. He snapped it. And we're praying together, and he was from Rwanda. His mother and father, one was a Hutu and one was a Tutsi. And you know, they had the big, big, big thing not too long ago, genocide in Rwanda. His mom and dad left and took them out of the country because of what was going to happen, what they could see was going to happen. Both of them were killed. Ignace came back, and as he came back, he, you know, didn't know what to do, and young man, and so he came to Uganda to learn English because Rwanda was changing from French to English, so he wanted to learn English. And he came to learn English, but he got saved.
Amen.
And a missionary called me, and he said, I got this man, would you let him come to the Bible Institute? And we talked, and I said, yes, and he came. And so in that picture, that was shortly before we left Uganda. 2 years ago, Kathy and I went. He wrote me, he says, you haven't forgotten. I'm still waiting for you to come and help me. God broke me down. I was working on a sermon for missions. And God said, you go. So we went 2 years ago. Now there's an Independent Baptist Church in Huey. And they're getting ready for a radio station maybe within the next few months. Ignace. Hey, I didn't have anything to do with Ignace. God did. God did. God brought him from Rwanda to Uganda, and praise the Lord. Now here's what I want to say, and I'm going to close. East Africa outreach and what God has done, it even goes further back, but it's been a dream come true. A dream come true. Just talk to God and then there it is. Talk to the Lord. I know it doesn't work the same way everywhere. I'm just telling you what God did for me. I'm just going to praise the Lord and give honor to Him. Here's what happened. When we first were going to the field, I had a man who was a rep with a good mission board. I knew him personally. We had ministered together. He said, what mission board are you going with? And he said, well, I said, the church is going to send us out and they're going to take care of responsibility and so on and so on and so on. And I explained it to him. And he said, Tony, he said, he really talked to me. He said, you really need to get with a board. We talked and I prayed and I told him, I said, no, I think this is the way. And here's what he said to me. He said, when you slow down, what if you have to come home? What if you get sick? And you know what my answer was? And again, I'm not being negative toward mission boards. Don't take it that way, because that's not the way it's meant. But my answer was and still is, God. God. You see, the Lord moved me aside. He used things to move me aside so those men could really emerge. And I'm telling you, they are doing a work. God's doing a work through them. Hey, this is God's work. It's all about God. Just remember that. And God. And tonight when you fill out your card, before you fill it out, you might want to say, God, what do you want to do? I know what I want to do. But God, what do you want to do? He'll speak. Yeah, he will. And he may surprise you. But anything, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency, in all things may abound to every good work. Folks, that verse, I know it. I know it's full. It's full. It's big. Oh, it makes our God so much bigger. And God. I want to say to you tonight, thank you for helping my family and I do the will of God. Thank you. Help others. Help others. Boy, these missionaries that are here, from what I can see, they're worthy and they're ready. Some of them are just chomping at the bits. You know, if somebody would come to them tonight and say, hey, what's your support level? And they said, oh, it's at 75%. Somebody said, I'll give you the balance. They'd be ready to go. They'd be ready to go tomorrow. Amen. Let God work in your life.